بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، رحمة للعالمين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My brothers and sisters, I'm walking down Watch Hog Road with a harvested cornfield on my right, stretching away into the distance where it meets the forest, and beyond that I can see the hills on the other side of Somers, Connecticut. The sky is absolutely clear and blue with cirrus clouds, and really I think a sky with clouds is a much more beautiful sight than a sky which is just a plain clear blue. It's like our lives, the clouds of our lives are those things which make the clear parts of our life look even more beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives difficulty so that we may relish the ease that comes with it. Ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty comes ease. Allah gives difficulty so that we get close to Him. And as a result of that, we savor the beauty of the ma'iyat and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which for most of us or all of us wouldn't have come had it not been for the difficulty, which reminded us that we are not alone in this world, and neither are we the actors or the script writers of this world. The script writer of this world wrote the script, and we act according to that script. How can I describe for you the beauty of what I'm seeing? Because as I am walking now, I see a skein of geese. Actually, three or four flights of them. But one is coming straight at me, the classic arrow formation, and talking to each other. Geese have to be the most talkative birds that I know, because I don't know of any geese formation that flies by silently. They all are in loud conversation with each other as they are flying. You can hear them long before you can see them. And that's not because I wear glasses. I take a deep breath and I ask myself, what does fresh air smell like? Because this part of the world where I'm walking, the air can't get fresher than this. It's absolutely clean and beautiful, fresh air. SubhanAllah, how can I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling me to be in, and not just be, but to be able to be in these places in a way, in a situation that I have the time and the resources and the ability to savor the beauty of this place. I mean, I know there are many people who live here who haven't been down this road walking. I mean, they've driven down the road, but they've never been actually walking down this road any time of the year. And alhamdulillah, I've been down this road now from September to now, so all through fall and in winter, the same field that I am now walking past, and it's brown. I've put some pictures along with this whole thing so you can see them. It's brown. So the whole color combination of brown, the yellow, dark yellow brown stalks of the cut corn, going up into the browns of the forest and then into the blue of the sky and the whites of the clouds. This whole thing was in fall. I couldn't see the forest at the back because I was looking at corn. And initially it was green, with the corn cobs forming, and then the corn cobs got ripened, the corn stalks dried, and then they came in with the harvesters. And they cut the field. And then in the winter, we had this enormous storm. And after the storm finished, I went for a walk. I've been trying to walk in all kinds of weather. And this field was white. It was completely and totally covered with snow. Totally white. It was very, very cold. At that time, I remember the temperature was minus 10. Today, it's 17 plus. Middle of winter, the temperature yesterday was 15, plus 15. Today, it is plus 17. And then, of course, on Thursday, they are promising sleet. And that's New England weather for you. Like my nephew says, you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. So as I'm walking here, I take a beautiful deep breath and I take many deep breaths. And alhamdulillah, what does fresh air smell like? It smells of firs and it smells of dry leaves. It smells of leaf mold. It smells of... It even smells of the manure. As I'm walking past this field, I have a whiff of the liquid cattle manure that they take from a... There's a very big farm quite close to here, which is a big dairy farm, many thousand cattle. All the dung and urine is collected centrally, and then it's mixed with I don't know what else, and treated, and then that comes in tankers, actually liquid tankers, which drive all over this vast field, and they spray that combination of dung all over this field. They sort of pour it. So it's liquid manure. When you're walking past at that time, it smells very high, believe me. But now there's just a sort of a whiff, which... helps me to understand that something which is in politics very visible, and that is that if you smell shit long enough, you learn to like the smell. So there is that smell as well. So there is the smell of conifers, pines, leaf mold, dry leaves, a whiff of cow dung. Not unpleasant at all. Beautiful smell of fresh air. And as I walk along, I smell freshly cut grass. And this, I don't think anybody's been cutting grass. So maybe it's crushed grass from a truck having driven on the verge. And I'm now past another field, which is lush and green. It's a fodder field, a fodder meadow actually, and it's absolutely lush green. It's interesting that when there is frost, the grass burns and it becomes brown. But when it's when you get a heavy snowfall suddenly and it covers up the grass doesn't burn. It's when the snow melts, it's still green. So under the snow, it's comparatively warm. Now I'm crossing the bridge on this stream on Watchog Road. It's a... very dark colored stream. The water is absolutely pure. I've drunk it, so I know that. But it's very dark colored. I think it has to do with the leaf mold at the bottom of the stream. It's flowing very strongly from the snow melt all around. There's the flatlands around the stream are inundated with the snow melt. The stream flows very quietly. There's no sound. But it flows very strongly. Beautiful, beautiful sight. It's full of dry fallen trees, and which cast all kinds of reflections in the stream. And because it's a quiet stream, there's not much of disturbance on the surface. So you can still see the reflection of the trees. And as I walk along, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for His grace and mercy of enabling me to see things and to look behind them and see the meaning in them and to relate them to different things in life and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through His signs in creation. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah said, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of understanding, people of intelligence. I remind myself and you that if one were to disconnect the optic nerve, the connection between the eyes and the brain, the eyes would still be fine. The eyes would still do their job. They would still reflect light. They would still act like the cameras they are, but we would become blind. We wouldn't be able to see. We really see with our brains. Vice versa. I mean, what happens in Alzheimer's? I mean, a person is looking at their own spouse, their own child, and they don't recognize them. So they're seeing them. It's not as if they haven't become blind. They're seeing them, but they don't recognize them. It's when the connection is there that we can recognize. So we see with our knowledge. We don't see just because we have two cameras in our head. And this is what I'm looking at, and I'm saying, SubhanAllah, see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He created this world and enabled us to look at it and to try to learn something from what we are looking at and what we are seeing. The trees are completely bare, totally dead. But in the middle of that stand, I can see the odd fir or the pine, which is standing tall and green, because these are evergreens, they don't shed their leaves. However, the leaves have evolved and they have become very small, tiny leaves or needles. And the main reason for that is to prevent snow from accumulating on them, because if too much snow accumulates on the leaves, then the branches become very heavy and they can break in a storm. The trees, the dead trees, they look completely dead, as if they will never come to life again. But they know, and I know, and those who know the earth know, that every single one of those dead branches is going to have green shoots sprouting on them in the spring. There are small birds around. I hear them as I walk. That's another amazing sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa razzaq dhul quwwati al-matin. He provides, and He is ar-razzaq. He is the provider and He is the sustainer, and He sustains with His power. Absolutely tiny little birds, weighing few grams in weight. They don't migrate, they stay here and they live out this winter, the severe winter of this place, through the ice, through the snow. Of course, we try to feed them and so on, but, how many birds can we feed on our bird feeders? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them. Allah knows how, from where. And more than that, how do they take shelter in the cold? The cold is so severe, especially during storms and even otherwise, that if you were out there without proper clothing, then you would be snuffed out in a few minutes, literally. I mean, you wouldn't last 1 hour. But these birds, they stay through the night. In the morning, they're chirping, they're full of energy. And that happens day after day after day. SubhanAllah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains and how Allah gives strength. And these are very important things to keep in mind today when we are facing difficulties in life, individually or collectively, that it's nothing to be afraid of. It only makes you stronger. The birds here live through the winter because they have lived through such winters. The winter is not a new thing to them. It's not something that they are afraid of, not something they are running away from. They know what it is. They know how to deal with it. They are dealing with it. And all that weather, all that snow, all that ice cannot kill one single little bird if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want that bird to be killed. So what of people? What of people and what of their so-called strength and their arrogance, which leads them to believe that they are God? They are not God. Nobody is God. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is worthy of worship, and He's the only one who can give anything and who can take away anything. لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. No نفع and no ضرر. No benefit and no harm except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save all those people who are oppressed. We ask Allah to save anyone who is oppressed wherever they are. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy oppressors whoever they are. In Islam there is no acceptance of oppression, no matter who does it, and there's no lack of protection from oppression, no matter who that person is. There's no sanction in Islam for Muslims to oppress others. There's no sanction for others to oppress Muslims. As I walk along now, I come to a stable and a stud farm. It's called the AA stud farm, which is a stud farm of Arabian horses. But on the board it says double S for some reason, I don't know. But it's the same thing. They have a huge riding paddock arena covered, and they also offer riding lessons and offer you to ride. I wanted to do that, but when I checked with them, they charge $60 for 30 minutes, and that's like too much for me, so I have to give that a miss. But the horses are absolutely beautiful. There's one, as I'm walking along here, I've taken a short movie of that. There are two Arabians in one paddock, and one of them is a very friendly chap. Whenever I come, I click to him and he comes and nuzzles my hand and so on. So there he is, very beautiful. As I walk along, I see in the other paddocks there are at least about 10 horses. One or two are mixed breed, but others are all chestnut and grey Arabians. Very, very beautiful, subhanAllah, bihamdi. Amazing creatures, the horses, especially the Arabian horses, the classic horses of the Crusades. They ran circles around the destriers, the armored chargers of the Crusader knights, the Templars and others, Hospitallers and others. And the Arabs always used light cavalry. They didn't use the heavy Norman cavalry which won Europe, so they didn't have knights who were clad in heavy armor. The Muslim soldiers, at best, they wore chainmail, but their mainstay was cavalry, and these were the horses, the Arabians, very, very fast, very intelligent, enormously loyal to their riders, to their handlers. And very, very brave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally revealed Quran about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al-Adiyat, the opening ayat, are all about these horses. Subhanallah, I sometimes think that, you know, when we make tafsir of these ayat, I ask myself whether the person doing the tafsir has ever ridden an Arabian horse. And then again, even if you do ride, I mean, I've ridden Arabians in Saudi Arabia, in America, I've never been on an Arabian in a cavalry charge. That's another world. We are no longer in a cavalry charging world, and alhamdulillah, in many ways we thank Allah for that. But it's another world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat in Surah Al-Adiyat. The opening ayat are about that. Brothers and sisters, I just like to share my thoughts and times with you, with the central thought of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of recognizing our Creator Jalla Jalaluhu in everything that we see and everything that we experience, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahman rahim.